Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Morning, everyone. How are we doing? What a beautiful, beautiful, it's almost autumn day, but autumn morning, summer day. How good is that? Get some heat on. Hey, let me pray. Jesus, thank you for this beautiful, beautiful morning, life flowing. And just as we open your word this morning, open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us personally as a church, and just keep us focused on Jesus. Amen. Deep in the heart of Italy is this beautiful place called Venice. If you've ever been to Venice, I have years ago. Venice is the most amazing city in the world. It's incredible. You know, just the very fact of building something into the water and just the age of everything and the design and the architecture, it blows my mind. But of course, being Italian, it's a very religious city of old. And in the middle of Venice, there's this monastery and a cathedral and all that around it. But in the middle of the monastery was what they would call their dining hall. It's the place that the monks would go to eat. And I've seen pictures of it. And at the end, it's probably about this size, but a little bit narrower, a bit longer maybe. And on the one wall, the monks, way back in the 1500s, that they commissioned a painting to celebrate what they thought was one of the most important aspects of the Bible. And they had this beautiful picture on the end so that every time they'd have dinner, maybe they'd have it in silence, I don't know. You know, maybe they'd be sitting around, but I can imagine. And they designed this painting to be just low enough so it looked like they were part of the feast. Let's bring this picture up. I want you to see this. There's a picture here. And I want you to try and guess what it is and where it's from. It's the wedding feast of Jesus. Now, this electronic representation doesn't do it justice. I've seen the real thing. It's in Paris. It's unbelievably big. It's bigger than this wall, taller. And right in the middle is Jesus. But there's this feast going on, Venetian style. You know, this is not quite Cana. But it's depicting one of the most important feasts that we celebrate, weddings. So if you think of any feast you've ever been to, weddings are the most important, aren't they? If you go to a wedding, you feel, oh, this is special, and there's food and there's laughter and there's dancing and there's all kinds of things going on here. And in the middle of this painting, I mean, it's a funny painting. I actually have a copy of this on the wall of my house where we eat, so I can look at it. And there's all kinds of things going on. There's dogs and cats and kids running around. But what I want you to see is right in the corner under the piano, there's some odd things going on down there. In the middle of this feast, right up here, I'm messing with the camera, sorry, Andrew, right down there, is some water jugs. What's going on here? This wine being poured out of stone jugs. And of course, it's depicting where the time when Jesus turns water into wine. In the middle of this feast, in the middle of all the stuff that's going on, way in the corner, unnoticed actually by all the guests, and it's true in the biblical account, is this little thing going on, and they've run out of wine. Now, back then, feasts, of course, were not just weddings were not just, you know, a little dinner that we had. It would go for a week. They'd invite the whole village. And it was a great celebration. And wouldn't it be tragic if halfway through that celebration, you'd run out of wine? It's like when you close the tab, you know. It doesn't quite have the same translation in Australia. It's like they got halfway through the week and this is in John 2, of course, one of our passages for the week. In the middle of this wedding, Mary, Jesus' mother, who's sitting next to Jesus, she's looking a bit sour, actually. She goes, Jesus, they've run out of wine. And Jesus says, what's that got to do with me? Classic son response. You may expect me to do something. So Jesus, despite that, says, he just disappears. And there are six stone water pots. And these are about half a 44-gallon drum. Okay, they hold about 100 litres each. Half a 44-gallon drum. There's six of them, made of stone, sitting in a corner, there for the Jewish ritual of washing and cleansing. So they wash their hands and they wash their cups and saucers and things, not just to clean them, but to make them all kind of ritually clean. That's what these things are for. And Jesus comes over and says, fill them up to the brim. And they fill them up to the brim. And then he says, take them to the head waiter. They take them to the head waiter. And the head waiter tastes the wine. And he says, this is good. This is aged. This is a good Shiraz, you know, from South Australia. This is top-notch wine. And they taste it and said, you know, everybody keeps the good wine. They drink it first. And then when everyone's had a bit to drink, then they don't care what they're drinking. He says, but you have saved the best until last. I want to talk about that, but I want to talk about two other accounts in this and link some things together. These passages that we've had this week are incredible. In fact, I wish I could just preach on, just stay here with these three passages in John 2, John 3, and John 4. They are just amazing passages. I hope you've tracked with them this week. But John 2 is the wedding at Cana. John 3 is Nicodemus talking with Jesus. John 4 is the woman at the well. And all these bring something together. So I want you to hold that thought about the wine for a second. We can take that off. And I'm going to jump over John 3 to John 4. And we have this occasion where the woman is sitting at the well. And Jesus is journeying up from Jerusalem. And he's on a journey and he goes straight through enemy territory. He goes through Cana, which most good Jews would skirt around. He's going from the north, from the south to the north. And he goes right through this place called Cana, which is where kind of Jews are half related to the Assyrians, and it's all pretty messy. But bottom line is Jews don't like them. And so this is in John 4. Jesus sits by a well. He's pretty tired from his journey, which is an interesting thought in itself. God is. He sits down and there's this woman. He starts his conversation with the woman. And the woman says, sir, you don't have anything to draw water with. Why don't you reach down? And Jesus starts talking really strange. He says, if you knew who you're talking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. And this messes with the lady's head. What's living water? And they start this religious conversation about Jews and the Gentiles and all that kind of stuff. But the point is, that Jesus says that the water I give you, if you drink of that, you will never thirst again. If you got what's inside of me, you'd never be thirsty. So preparing this message, I'm thinking, wine, living water, right? Wine, Jesus turns water into wine, good wine at a feast. Then I'm thinking, Jesus uses water. It's like wherever he goes, he brings something new. He brings something fresh. He's at a wedding and they've run out of wine. He blesses them and pours out the best wine. He transforms old religious thinking and religious rituals and he transforms it into new wine. He comes and he says, here's a well and you're just going to drink and you're going to get thirsty again. But I tell you what I've got for you is living water. If you just got a taste of what I've got, then you would have living water and you'd never thirst again. I want to ask the question this morning. What is it in your world that Jesus can transform? And how does he do that? And then how can we in turn transform the things in our world from the ordinary, from stone pots into wine-filled canisters, from an ordinary well into a well that draws out living water. I just wonder what Jesus could do in your world and how we could respond to that. The key's in the middle. Come back to that question. Now let's look in depth at this passage in John 3, verse 1. I'm going to unpack. This is the key. It sits right in the middle of these two accounts of Jesus. Let's pull this up on the screen. So there's a man of the Pharisees. Now Nicodemus, he's a ruler of the Jews. Now just let me explain that. Pharisees are the leading teachers and judges of the law of God. They have the responsibility of ensuring that everybody is educated well about the ways of God and enforcing them. So if you're not doing things, like if you're working on the Sabbath, they will put you in jail or something. They're the religious police, right? They're the ones, and they really are trying to do it right by God, because they've been through a bit of history, the Jews, where things haven't gone so well. So it's like these are the religious police that are out there making sure that everybody's doing the right thing. And that's why Jesus had such kind of arguments with the Pharisees. But there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and he was a ruler. He was a leading guy. And he's watching Jesus do all his things, his miracles. And he says, this man came to Jesus by night. Some people think he was sneaking out, you know, that he didn't want to be seen by his friends. So he kind of sneaks out of Pharisee home, wherever they lived, and he sneaks in, fine, and he says, Jesus, can I talk with you? He said to him, Rabbi, which is a title of respect, means teacher, but it's a respectful title. We know that teacher, we know that you've come from God, basically. For no one can do the signs that you do unless God was with him. He says, Jesus, there's something about you, and I want to know more. I know you've come from God. No one could do what you've been doing. No one can turn water into wine. No one could teach with authority. He starts asking questions, but Jesus answered him. Now, this is odd, because I didn't see any question in the previous verse. Jesus knows what we need, and he just kind of goes right in there, right? He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Nicodemus, who knows his Old Testament backwards, he's a Pharisee. Nicodemus, who's given his life to following God. And Jesus says to a ruling Jew, he says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Now, Nicodemus is scratching his head. Because we'll see it. Nicodemus said to him, next verse. He's getting the visions, right? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Like, he's taking this all literally. Like, how does that work, Jesus? But Jesus said to him, he said, truly, truly. He said, really, listen to me, Nick. I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let's just stop there for a moment and unpack that. So Nicodemus is trying to get the whole reborn thing going on. But Jesus says, no, it's true. Unless you're born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The word born again, the again word, also means from above. Same word in Greek. It just depends on the context as to how you translate it. Most translators would say born again because of the way Nicodemus responds. You know, he's like saying he's gone that way. But you see, same word means born from above, renewed from above, born again. He's saying that unless you've had a transformation from above, you're not going to really see the kingdom of God. Unless you've been born of water and of spirit, See, water represents cleansing. Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Unless you've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and from the inside out being cleansed, you can't see the kingdom of God. It's just not possible. And to the Pharisees, they're going, the way that we get to God is by following our religious observances, by being good, by doing the right thing. Then maybe God will smile on us. But Jesus is saying completely different things. All you got to do is be renewed, born from above, and you will see the kingdom of God. What does that mean in our world? You see, Jesus has something pretty controversial to say right here. Because we have a notion of right and wrong in our world, don't we? We often have the good and the bad. We see it in every movie. Yet the good gets confused. Because what is right and good one season or one year is different to the year before. Just the way our society, our democratic society works, where we vote on an issue and say, well, now something's legalized when before it wasn't. So we change our morality, societal morality, according to opinions of the people at the time. It's the way a democracy works, like it or not. But Jesus is going right over that. He says it's not about morality or being good or right. It's about being born again. Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Now, let's just finish this little passage. Hold that thought. In verse 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Now, what if we went around our world saying you must be born again? What kind of response would you get at work? Oh, my pastor at church, he said I must be born again. It's got the connotations of being you're a bit fanatical, aren't you? You're a bit weird. If you walk into work tomorrow and say, I'm a born-again Christian, I wonder what sort of looks you'll get. I wonder what sort of kind of, is he all right? You know? What has she been on? You know, because you know, back in the 80s, we had born-again Christians, and we had this idea that, you know, that there was kind of a special type of Christians. You had Christians and then you had born-again Christians. You know? What does that mean? What is Jesus actually saying? He says, truly, truly, verse 6, this one is born of the flesh. We're born of the Spirit. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Here it is. You and I need to have a rebirth from God. It's the bottom line. Unless we have a rebirth, a new heart, a new soul, something that's going on the inside, we won't see God's kingdom. We won't enter his kingdom. We won't enter heaven. We won't spend the rest of our life with him. Unless there's been a transformation on the inside, unless we've met Jesus and started to follow him, we're not actually going to get it. That's what he means by see the kingdom of God. You're not going to have that encounter ongoing daily with Christ. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, I know you're religious. I know you're trying your best. I know you in your mind you've got everything ticked. He said, but unless you're born again, it's all in vain. Your religion is not going to work. Your religion is like those water pots that I've just turned into wine. Your religion won't help you. And I say that here today, that our religion won't help. Our good works won't help. God doesn't look at us and think, oh, she's good. Oh, look, she did four things, five. It just doesn't work like that. But our society works like that. Like, who's a good person? Somebody who's done good things, right? But so often we take that in front of God and say, God, I've done all these things. God says, no, you must be born again. Doesn't matter what you've done or haven't done. Now, this is completely liberating. Because who thinks they've done enough to please God? I don't see any hands. We never do we? Like, who's prayed enough today? Who's read their shit? See, we all carry this sense of guilt. I'm just not quite right. I just haven't done enough. Ever felt that? I'm just not good enough. I just haven't quite made it. I just haven't kind of thought, I don't know my Bible. I haven't prayed enough. I haven't done enough good things. And so we live our life condemned, feeling on the inside, oh, I don't quite make it. I got good news. You don't have to make it. You don't have to tick all the boxes, Rosemary. My list at the end of every day is kind of a third done. I go, oh, what don't I do today? And that can wear us down. But God is not looking at our lists. He's not looking at how good we are. He's not judging it. In fact, he's just thrown a party for us with wine. See that? He's just thrown a feast with the best wine. And he said, come and drink and enter into the kingdom of God. He's just sat with a poor woman who's had five husbands, and the one he has now is not a husband, and she's kind of feeling all awful. And Jesus says, it's not about that. It's about living water. Can you see the grace of Jesus just through those couple of passages? But the key is right in the middle. Unless you're born above, unless you've had an encounter with Jesus, you're going to spend the rest of your life feeling like you just don't quite make it, or you're not good enough. You don't have to feel that anymore. We'll never make it. But what Jesus has done on the inside of us, he's given us his heart and his spirit so that we can, when we're feeling like I'm not making it, I know that I have made it because I got a new heart, because Jesus has come into my world. I've been born again. I had an encounter with Christ. But here's the thing that I fear. For so many of us, we say, I was born again in 1978. I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus, I came down the front of church and I said the sinner's prayer, tick, I'm safe. Is that really you? You were around in 78? So was I. I was six. But, you know, we live off one experience or one decision. I was born again. I remember the time when. But if that's your last encounter with Christ, then you've got a problem. If that was the last time that you had, you know, a conversation with Christ. I reckon we've got to be born again every day. God's mercies are new every day. How often do we need Christ? Every day. So I've been born again every day. Sure, there's a moment when I decided to follow Christ. But what good is that if I spend the rest of my days walking away from God or just putting God on the sidelines while I just continue life? But what if every day I'm born from above? What if every day I live with a renewed spirit on the inside? What if every day I go, Jesus, thank you for your life flowing through me today. Thank you for new wine. Thank you for the gift of celebration. Thank you for living water. It's going to flow through me. It's going to touch my world. I reckon I'd live new. Live new. What if you woke up every morning and says, Jeff, live new. Live from the new that God has given. Because Jesus, throughout the Gospels, he's turning everything over. He takes what is and he goes, you watch as you read through the Gospels. He's messing with people. It's a new season. It's not about the stone water pots anymore and the religious washing. It's about what I can do on the inside of you. It's not about being good or bad. It's about that I've given you a new heart. And if you live out of that heart, your life is going to flow with living water. You are going to touch. You're going to do the things that Jesus did. You're going to touch people's worlds. I was at the buying some petrol yesterday at the Shell service station. 5 litres of mower fuel, you know, as you do, you feel like a goose. That'll be $6, thanks. But the girl at checkout starts talking. She says, "Oh, I'm tired." I started chatting, you know. And I was just about to say, "You know what? You need a real rest." I was thinking Matthew 11. "You're tired, you're weary. I could show you how to live well." When the next person comes in and just kind of barges in, it's But what if I could do that? Just in conversations, help people experience living water. That it would just flow out of me. And it doesn't matter if the person next to me barges, I go, "Living water," as I put my money down. I just wonder if we lived new every day. Every day before we got out of bed. "Thank you, Jesus. I want to be born again, born from above. I want your renewing this morning. I need living water flowing from me, whatever I'm doing, my work, my kids, my flatmates, my friends. I need living water." And just imagine what God could do with you just one day. All we've got to do is one day at a time. That's it. Just one day. Imagine the flow of life come through. Imagine living new again. That's the challenge, but it's exciting. Imagine what could happen. You might just be at a wedding. They might just run out of water. Wouldn't it be awesome to go, "Hey, I got this"? I'm going to get these guys to come and just play some music while we pray. But I don't want to disturb this sense of possibility. We just love what Jesus does. But what if we could be flowing in His ways every day of our life? What if it wasn't just a one-off commitment back when you were 17 or 27 or 47? What if we lived out our being born again every day of our life? What if we lived new each morning? New grace for a new day. Born from above. Why don't you close your eyes for a moment? What I sense the Lord just wanting is just a simple commitment. A heart that says, "Yeah, I want that. Yeah, I want that. I want it for today. I don't want it for tomorrow. And I want it for Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and even Saturday. I want a new touch of God for each day that through me would flow Christ's rivers of living water. I want to be born again each day. I want to be excited about what God could do through me in my context, in my service station, whatever you're in." Just before Jesus right now, I want you to feel His love for you. You know, He had great love for Nicodemus. In fact, Nicodemus was a follower of Christ. He was one of the guys who buried Jesus' body. He was there right at the end. So he actually listened and he became a disciple. It's amazing, even though he was a Pharisee all the way through. Doesn't matter what station of life you're at, whether you're a leader, follower, young, old, it just doesn't matter. Whether you're the woman at the well or a intellect, it just doesn't matter. Jesus touched everybody. And He's just wanting that one thing, an open heart that says, "Yes, come in, come in, come in. Live new each day." Do you want that? Right now before Jesus, just ask Him, "Hey, can I have your living water each day?" Spirit. And if you've never made that first commitment, do it right now. Do it in the presence of God right now. Kickstart a new habit, a new walk with Christ. Kickstart it. This is going to be such an exciting year. It's going to be the same message every week. Learning about Jesus, learning to love Him and walk in His ways. I'd love to help you on the journey if you've never started, or just come and chat to somebody at the front later on. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.